Well, as most of you know, throughout this summer, we've been considering who the Holy Spirit is and the role that he plays, that essential role he plays both in our lives as individuals, as Christians, and in the life of the church. As we take a look at the early church, there's so much that God reveals to us about the way the Holy Spirit interacts with us and the way he guides us. And one thing that's really clear in the Bible is that we need God's presence to live as his people. In order to fulfill his purposes, we truly need to understand our need to have him with us, guiding us, speaking to us, convicting us, just showing us the way. The Holy Spirit is that aspect of God who is with us at all times, that he's provided us as people who've been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Because we've been set free from our sin, God is free to be with us. We just need to continue to open up our lives to him and allow ourselves to be guided by and empowered by the Holy Spirit. One of the great things that we shared at VBS, as we mentioned, is how each one of us is unique and in special ways has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve him in the world. And one of the really great things about that is that God also brings us unique people together to form a body of Christ so that each of our gifts and talents can work in concert with one another. We can complement one another's gifts and be more powerful as a whole than any one of us is on our own. And the Spirit binds us all together. And it's just, there's so many testimonies of seeing how the Spirit works in individuals, yet brings us all together, keeps us on the right, on the same path. And that's really who we are as a church. It's who we're called to be in Jesus Christ, people who live by the Holy Spirit. And when I think about that, I think about Paul's words to the church in Galatia, in Galatians 5, 13 through 18. He says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Right? Our own nature is going to be continuing to try to follow that sin, those sinful desires that rise up. But if we live by the Spirit, truly trusting him, following him, going where he says to go, we will fulfill God's will for our lives. And that's how I'd summarize everything that we've talked about in the ways that the Holy Spirit works. It's all about learning to live by the Spirit in every way. Now, that's often a challenge for us, right? Our sinful, selfish desires, says, like I just said, want something different than what God wants. So we're called to self-denial a lot of times, denying what we think that we really want. God's timing is not always our timing, so we're called to patience. It can be a challenge. God's ways of doing things are different than our own ways, and so we're called to trust him beyond our own understanding. That can be really hard sometimes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. From Proverbs, right? And that part about not leaning on your own understanding always sticks out to me, because it's God's understanding that we need. God calls us out of complacency and individualism, and those are the things that we often retreat to when we're trying to live a comfortable life. Instead, we're called to walk by faith and walk in the power of the Spirit. And those challenges can be difficult, but the results of doing so are just wonderful. We discover a life full of joy, a life full of hope and love, and a life of deep relationship with the Lord and with other Christians that God has placed in our lives. That connection we develop with other Christians is really of huge value. It's one of the big pieces about belonging to a church, is that we have one another. Fellowship with other Christians provides encouragement. It gives us people in our lives who can help build us up and walk alongside us in our faith as we continue to seek the Lord. It gives us people who can remind us of who the Lord is, give us hope, point us to hope again when we lose sight of it. And there's just so many blessings that God gives us in those brothers and sisters in Christ that he places in our lives. That bond that we develop with one another, however, can sometimes contribute to the challenge of living by the Spirit. Because we want to hold on to the good things that we have. We want to hold on to those people that God puts in our lives. We want them to remain with us. But sometimes God has bigger plans for us. And he wants us to cling to him more than anything or anyone else. And sometimes living by the Spirit means being obedient to the call to go when he says go. And that's one of the things about living by the Spirit I want to consider today, the call to go. As I said, God has bigger plans than we often realize. Our theme for VBS was focused on pursuing those goals. We said, move, powered by the Holy Spirit. And our life is like a sailing ship. The Holy Spirit is the wind who fills our sails and moves us in the direction that God wants us to go. He wants to move us out of our comfort, out of our normal life where we just fit in with everyone else around us. He wants to move us in the direction of sharing his love and glorifying him wherever we go. And sometimes he literally says, move. Go to a new place and do new things. We see this biblically in the lives of people following the Holy Spirit. And I have a couple examples I just want to share from Scripture. Matthew 8, 18 through 20. We read about an interaction that Jesus had with some people who wanted to follow him. Matthew 8, 18 through 20. I'll give you just a moment if you're looking that up. I should get to the right chapter, too, actually. Matthew 8. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And so Jesus was making it clear to this person who wanted to be his disciple, look, following me may not be the life that you have in mind. Jesus didn't have a place he called home, really. He kept moving around, going wherever the Spirit called him to go. And he warned his followers that they would need to do the same. When you look at the life of Paul, when he became a missionary for the early church, he traveled from place to place, planting churches. And we especially read about Paul's conviction to following the Spirit in Acts chapter 20. Near the end of his journeys. Acts 20, verse 17, we read from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility, with tears, and although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I've declared to both Jew and Greek that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." So Paul was a man committed to following the Spirit wherever the Spirit led. That was the most important thing to him, to finish the race, to finish his life doing what Jesus had called him to do. And in this moment, the only thing he knew, he was supposed to go to Jerusalem, and prison and hardship laid ahead. And he had all kinds of people he could have clung to, all kinds of friends who loved him and wanted to hang on to him. But he had to go where the Spirit told him to go. We see people responding to this call to move in missionaries all over the world who are called to go wherever God calls them throughout the world to share the gospel. And I shared with you just a few weeks ago about some 20-plus families in a church in Indiana picking up their lives and moving out to Colorado to plant a new church. This is the kind of thing that happens when people respond to the call of the Holy Spirit to move. And I share all of this with you today because right here at True North, this is a truth that we need to accept as well. We have a family here with us who has meant a lot to us. We've developed deep friendships with them, and God is calling them to serve somewhere else. We're going to hear from them today about how God has been moving them and working in their lives. And so I'd like to invite Kevin Miller to come up and share with us for a little while.
Thanks, Scott. So with the theme of moving, I didn't know that you knew that we took it literally. So we are moving. We are leaving Cannon Falls. We're moving to Stillwater. We close on our house here in the Cannon Valley on Friday. And then we're going to be moving to a place just about 6 miles north of Stillwater, which is where my family is from. But if you were to categorize our family and what we do, it does surround the word move. We have moved actually quite a bit as a family. Not simply because we are unsettled. It has to do more with the fact that God has just called us to move to different places. So it's interesting, Scott, one of the verses the Lord gave me this morning was Proverbs 3:5, which you've already quoted. It says, do not rely on your own understanding. What do you think gets in the way of moving? It's our own understanding. It's what we know and feel comfortable with. But to move outside of that and acknowledge Him, I'm always amazed when I don't do that, how things are just, they just don't work out. We've tried to sell our house twice before this, and it was clearly not the time that God would have us to leave. Most of you, or part of you, have heard our testimony. One of the interesting components of it was, for the first 10 years that we were here in the Cannon Valley, we were at a church north in Hastings called The Harbor. Got very involved in that whole process there. I've developed, again, deep relationships with people in there, became very involved and ran the men's ministry for years and years there. But there came a point where the Lord put it in our heart that we were to move. And I'll tell you, that's hard, especially when you have very, very deep relationships. And then He called us here to this church. And my struggle with that, which I've been in very honest with Scott with all along, is that we knew this day was coming, that we would eventually move back to Stillwater. And Lord, I don't want to move that way. That's not within my understanding. I don't want to get to know all these people because I'm going to develop relationships. My family's going to develop relationships. But again, that's my understanding. So we did, and we have made some wonderful relationships here. The other verse that the Lord gave me is Proverbs 24:16. This is one of my life verses, because if you're going to move, you're going to fall. Proverbs says that a righteous person may fall, but he rises again 7 times. Actually, it's more than 7 times often. But that is part of moving, because you're going to make mistakes in that process when you're going to fight your flesh. And that's just part of it, though. But a righteous person gets up and tries again. I've had some awesome opportunities here. As the elder of this church, the first elder, working with Scott. So what have I done here as an elder? From a ministry perspective, you've seen me step in for Scott from time to time. But more than that, to be able to work with Scott on a very intimate level with issues, challenges, praises, you know, to be that person he can bounce something off of, that we can both go to the Lord and just say, what is your direction here? We've done that so many times. Now, that won't cease. Obviously, I won't be doing that in the capacity of an elder, but as a dear friend. So that relationship will continue. Now, I challenge the men here to grow in their faith to a point where you feel that calling, likewise, to be an elder. Scott needs godly men around him to be able to continue the ministry here. He shouldn't be the only person. God brings us together as a family. So I would encourage people to do that. So I want to say thank you to everybody here. We love this church, and we love the people here. We've been through some wonderful times. I just think about painting the church. What a blast that was. And how God was so in the middle of that. But we've also had some challenges here, too. And we have risen again, time and time again. And I just see God's faithfulness, His Spirit moving here. And we'll come back and visit.
So part of living, really living by the Spirit, involves just keeping our hearts and minds open to where God might be calling us next. Sometimes he calls us to remain where we are, not remain stagnant, just going through the motions. There's always challenges to keep growing, keep stepping out in faith, finding the next thing that God wants us to do. But sometimes it does mean go somewhere else, do something new. I want to encourage us all to keep our hearts and minds open to what God is doing and what he's calling us to. None of us has arrived at the point where God just says, well done, until we're standing before him in heaven, right? Our lives here on earth are meant to be lives continuing to pursue him, continuing to follow him and trying out new things. I like what Kevin brought up about how we are going to fall and fail sometimes. That's part of living by the Spirit, because we step out in faith and we try. But we don't give up trying. We continue to have hope in the Lord. So what I'd like to do now is call the Miller family to come up to the front. And we're going to pray for them and ask for God's blessing on them as they go out to this new adventure that God has for them. We ask for God to guide them. Wendy, would you come up and help me pray for these guys? Why don't we all just stand, too, and just put our hands out and pray over this family. Lord God, I just thank you so much for what a blessing the Miller family has been to us as a church and to us personally. You brought them at just the right time, Lord, that you brought them for a purpose. It was very clear that they were here to fulfill your will. I thank you the way that you have grown us all through the time that we have spent together, the bonds of friendship that we have that will continue beyond this time. And we pray for your blessing on them as they move on from this point in their life to the next. Jennifer and Kevin are embarking on the adventure of being empty nesters for the first time. As their four daughters go out and discover your calling in their lives, I pray that you would bless all of them in that. Guide the girls in the path that you have for them. Continue to grow Jennifer and Kevin close together as they continue on in their life. Bless them in their move, Lord. And I pray that as they move, you make it clear to them the purpose that you have called them to in their new location. Just bring the people around them that they need to connect with to fulfill those purposes, Lord. Continue to make your Spirit evident to them. Challenge them in the ways that they need to be challenged to continue growing in you. Let them never grow complacent, Lord, but continue to pursue a life of significance in you, that your Spirit work mightily through them. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you. Let's give thanks once again for the Miller family, Lord, everybody. All right. Why don't I pray one last time? We're going to end a little bit early, but we're going to continue to praise God. Feel free to hang out afterward and fellowship for a while. Let the kids have a little bit more time downstairs. Yeah, Ty. Oh, yes. Why don't we do that? You're right. You're right. There is other movement happening. We have kids going back to college this next week. You know, you girls are going to college. Our two oldest boys are going to college. School is starting in another week and a half. Another week and a half, yes. So let's pray for God's blessing on all those kids making moves as well. And then we'll close with our final worship song. Yeah, thanks for the reminder. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the way that you move in us and you call us to move for your sake. I pray that you remind all of these kids, these young adults who are going off to college, Lord, that they are yours. And they are called to be your servants and your light in the world wherever they go. As they head out from Cannon Falls to whatever path that you have them on, Lord, I pray that you just be close to them. Let them continue to live in hope as you walk with them. Live in strength with your Spirit. Help them to be a light at whatever schools that they're at or whatever profession they are going into, Lord. Let them just shine brightly for you. We pray for all of our younger kids, Lord, who are heading back to school now and in the next week and a half, Lord, here in Cannon Falls. Let them be a light as well in their schools, especially these young kids, Lord. Teach them now to be that light for you, to not just fall into whatever habits all their other kids are doing, but to stand mightily on your spirit. Just pray for your blessing on all of us, Lord, as we continue to move with you. In Jesus' name, amen.